And there are, it's, you know, and the way this motorhome has come, it's possible we could be very busy starting next spring. Right now we have Big Timber, first week in October, second weekend, Lewistown. We're thinking about Harlow Town, which is 1,000 people. And the town is basically going broke. We've already been there. And I've talked to a few people. There are many small towns in Montana that are not making it. And so, you know what? It's possible that every weekend there'll be somewhere to go, something to do, at least every other weekend. And one thing I need to say is that as he is in this world, so are we. One of the things that I've been confronting in my own faith is what to do with the local pastor. Because every time we sit down and try to talk to pastors about this, you know, well, you know, we got this program, spitting contest next week. And we got this, you know, cattle judging contest the next week. And we got this spiritual thing we're doing in our church for the next month. And, you know, everybody's got programs, but, and it's not just that. I mean, we can work around people's legitimate schedules, but it's just the reason, why do you think that in small communities, any community, why do you think there's a lack of a viable spiritual work in that community? That's right. There's a lack of Jesus in the community because nobody's evangelizing. So, you know, God sends an evangelist and not just some guy that's trying to get started, although that'd be fine too. God's sending a proven ministry over 26 years to the pastor's door. I could tell you a story about last week. I mean, this guy comes out in his stocking feet. His Baptist pastor, it was terrible. It was a reproach. His big thing is he's the only thing in town, and everybody else is his enemy in the gospel. You know? I mean, no wonder he's sitting there in a hole. And that's where he'll remain. And that's the way it is. So basically what we're looking at is we're going to decide what communities the Lord wants us to go in. We're going to go secure the fairgrounds, and then I'm going to send a letter to the pastors. I'm tired of knocking on doors and talking to them. It just, they hurt my ears.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send them a letter, tell them what's going on, and if they would like to meet with us, to write me or call me. And we'll come down and we'll set up a time to meet. And I'm not going to follow up with a phone call. We're going to go into these communities because you know what? What I'm realizing is the Pharisees of today are still preventing people from the kingdom.
Yes, right.
And I decided I am not going to stand and let some little town, little minded town pastor who doesn't have any life and doesn't really have any faith and doesn't have any love and just is concerned about his keeping his little flock together so he can live there and do what he does. You know what? I'm not going to let them keep the gospel out of that town because there is a principality and a power and a spirit in Montana and Wyoming and Idaho and the West, Colorado, that says these little... That's why these little communities are so dead.
Right.
It's because the stronghold is in the ministry that's in those towns.
Yeah.
And so we're going in there. If they want to be part of it, fine. We want them to be. If they don't, you know what? I wish you were with us up there at Lewistown last week because I told these guys, I said, don't take this in the wrong spirit. And I said the same thing to the guy in Big Timber. I said, but you know what? And I went through the little ditty. I said, you know, we try to invite the pastors, and we do the meetings and the ministerial alliances. And I said, that's where I go first, and that's what I want to do. But I said, you know what? If they're not on board, we're going to do it anyway. In other words, what I'm saying is we're coming into your town with or without you.
Yeah. I was thinking that in Congo. When I heard that, assume you canceled, you know, this, we had meetings with pastors. I thought, why are we even having this? I was going to talk to you about that, but what comes to me with what you're saying is when Jesus went places, the Pharisee says, by what authority?
I read that scripture this morning. One more thing, Jeannie, and then I'll let you say what you want to say. But let me tell you what happened in circle. So I talked to Lila. Lila calls the pastor calls me. All good, right? Yeah, everything's going good. Talk to her. Well, I don't know. We can only come up with about $1,500. I said, that's fine. I said, well, it's not about the money. I said, we want to come in. I said, what's going on in the date I chose for circle was September 24th and 25th. I didn't know that that was town and country day. The pastor tells me, he says, yeah. He says, geez, he says, that's town and country day. I said, what's that? He says, it's the only weekend over the year that everybody in the county is in town. I said, gee, that might be the Lord, you know? It's the only weekend in the whole year where all the counties in town. I said, well, call, talk to the pastors. Okay. So he talks to the Alliance Pastor and says, oh, they have money in their fund for evangelism. I said, great, when are you going to meet? Well, call you another week, I got to go do this thing. I said, okay. I said, I got to know by Friday because I got a conflicting date in Big Timber. Call me back Friday. He says, well, he says, I don't think we can do it. I said, why is that? Well, I talked to the other pastors. And they said, you know, we feel like there'll be too much going on in town that weekend. So who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for the people or are we doing it for us? Because what he wants is, they thought it'd be better if we come when there's nothing going on, so we'd be the kind of the only thing in town. So I guess, you know, screw the county. Screw all the families that are going to be in town over the weekend because we're not doing it for them. They don't need the gospel. They don't need the kingdom. They don't need anything presented, no table set before them. So just let them go to hell. The hell with them. The hell with a lot of them. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I got half of mine. I'm not going to talk about this, but if we get this motor home, I got half of mine to just go anyway. I'm serious. Call the rodeo grounds and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And just show up. Say, hey, we decided to come.
Yeah. What's that sure. Third thing you're building?
What are you going to say?
Well, I got riled up when you're talking about the wedding feast. The parable of the wedding feast.
Oh, there's a bunch of parables.
Yeah.
How about the wicked husbandman?
Yeah.
That's the age. I told you, remember? About a year ago, 2 years ago, I told you in Hawaii, that's the age we live in right now. We live in the age of the wicked husbandman, where Jesus sends the owner of the vineyard into the vineyard to get some fruit, and they end up beating him, sending him back. They end up killing the son.
Yeah.
That's what we live in. You know, nobody wants to open up their town that they own. Well, you know, I don't think Jesus died and made them Lord over Circle. Or Big Timber or Lewistown or any of these other podunk little towns that nobody with the right mind would live in. But there are people living in these towns because they have to live there. They're stuck there. So what are they, chopped liver? You know? So anyway, they need somebody standing up there yelling and screaming and calling shit, and, you know, whatever it is, calling it what it is. They need somebody standing up there saying, you know what? Jesus is coming.
Yes.
Jesus is coming back for those that are looking for him.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know what? He's not coming you back. Well, I'm sorry, honey, but that's for me, it's all right. He's not coming back for people that are lost in church. I mean, I'm not saying talking about the good folks that go to church because they love the Lord and that's, I mean, it's the only show in town. What can they do? They're so used to eating junk food and from dead pastors who have dead sermons that have no life. They're so used to that, they don't know the difference. How is the veil going to be lifted? How is Jesus going to lift the veil? How does he show us the difference between life and death? It's by presenting both to us.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't make a judgment if we don't have both. So that's our job. Our job is to present at least what we have. Now, where do you fall into that? You fall into that by giving what you have.
Yeah.
Money, yes. Life, yes. Do you have a vision for your own witness where you work, where you live? Do you have a vision for that? Or are you just part of the family? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You've got to be somebody who has life. Do you add life? Are you something that adds life? Or are you a resistor in your family? In your house? Are you life-giving? Or are you the one that drains the life? Are you the short? Are you the short circuit in your house? Or do you give life like everybody else does? And it's not that hard. It is not that hard. It's just a matter of loving Jesus and wanting to please Him every day. I'll tell you what, I was watching Brandon converted some of my old big 3/4-inch tapes to video. And I don't know if you watched that Ben Kinslow interview. Did you watch the whole thing? I'm telling you what, there's such a spirit of life on me. It just totally took over the studio. It took over Ben Kinslow. I mean, he didn't know what to say to me. He just he talked real fast to start with, and then he lost that interview early in that interview and never got it back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't I didn't try to overrun him, but I just had the life that was in me was unreal, and I started taking him down the path, and I was watching myself in this interview. I watched the Holy Ghost come on me. I can see. I watched this. He says, well, and I was talking, you know, and giving a little story. And I said, and I guess, you know, and we'll get into the part where I get saved. I'm sure we'll get into that later. You know, I mean, I'm leading him along. And he says, well, how did you, you know, go from evil to evil and leaving to evil and all of this stuff, you know? This thing come on me, and I scoot forward my chair, and I lean into a little bit. I got in his space, you know, and you know, when I was talking about, just before that, I was talking about the fight in the Cow Palace with Hell's Angels. Well, I said, you know, and the angels jumped us, and, you know, in the Cow Palace, and he says, this is where he was at. I mean, this is where religious people are at. Angels? He said, angels jumped? I said, yeah, Ben, you know, Hell's angels, you know. And so he felt kind of stupid, you know, at that point. Well, then it leads him on, and then I said, well, Ben, I said, you know what the scripture says and about departing from evil? So I departed from evil. He says, oh, yeah. And then he goes, oh. You know, I mean, it was hilarious. And but what I was looking at was the spirit that was on me. And I know that spirit. And see, that's what I'm beckoning. I don't know now. You might think I'm weird now here, okay? But you beckon. It's like Brandon was talking about this morning was great because talking about the smell of leathers, the smell of the motorcycle, going out afterwards, and all that. It's not just about being entertained. It's not just about, oh boy, we get to go out to eat. There is a spirit. There's such a strong spirit. The same spirit that lived in the house in Hawaii on the beach with Rick and I, that we sat up till 2 o'clock in the morning. He had to leave early because he was making phone calls to New York, probably. I mean, what time did you leave usually in the morning? But it's a spirit, and you can, I know that spirit. I know what it's like to be under that spirit, and that's what I want back. I don't want to, we'll talk about the things of God. I don't want that spirit. I want to be able to be at liberty in the Lord, and that's you know, the control thing that Mike got into with Carmi, and we get into is we become theologians and we become dogmatically strict in our Jesus doctrines. And that's what we give each other. We give each other our little Jesus doctrines. It's how we respond to each other. Well, nobody, you know, not only do we not like it, people in the world hate it. They don't even think it's right behavior, in other words. They think it's insanity. So, you know, we're not reaching anybody with that. So anyway, but I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go, but I know this, the Lord sure outfitted us in a short period of time. I was feeling kind of a check about the motorhome the other day because we went out there and spent all day trying to get this thing working with the Lloyd, and Colt went out there and Lloyd worked all day on this alternator and put it in, and the thing still wouldn't charge. But I noticed some things. This guy's son went to the school that Colt wanted to go to. He's certified, but he never asked his son to even come out there. You know what I found out later? I found out later, Red, see, I knew that Red doesn't get along with his son-in-law. I knew he doesn't. I could just see there's nothing between them. And Red says, yeah, he says, that guy, John, he says, he don't talk, he won't ask anybody. He says, Cody, the kid, he says, I was just waiting to see if somebody's going to ask for my help. That's all I was waiting for, because he's not, you know, going to step in on his dad. Well, the minute he asked him to take a look at it, he figured it out. And Red said, yeah, that was the problem. Saved him all that time and money. But anyway, I feel all right with it now. I feel pretty good with it. And I've got vision for it. And if we're going to be going to small communities, we can't trust that there'll even be decent motels to stay in. There might. But I mean, and we want to give to the community, and if there are motels, we'll stay in that community. But we've got to be self-contained. Yeah. We've got our own power system. We've got our own everything. So we're out there walking. They got this airplane out there, this little hangar, this little two-seater, you know. So I'm got an old runway out there and everything, you know. And so I'm kind of looking at that. We're going to walk back. Joe says, hey, they got that field over there. It'd be a great place to practice. Good idea, Joe. So I go up to Red. I says, hey, Red, what would you think about me coming out here? And I gave my story, practice. He says, you can have the field. He says, we don't have horses anymore. Well, grass, and it's like this high. So I looked at Joe. I said, guess what you're going to do today? Your idea? So I got Joe behind this real mower. And huge mower, huge thing you walk behind. And we just mowed her down. And we got a place ready to practice, ready to set up. We're going after the meeting to set up our stuff. I'm not going to jump today, by the way, honey, but I will set up and
you want to be a tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got an airstrip out there already cut, so all we need is an airplane, so that's it. But here's what I'm thinking. Most everybody's here, so I want to just lay this out to you and see what you think. Whatever you're giving to the center, I want everybody to just look. We have to pay this month's rent. Okay? And so I'd say at least half of the commitment is a month behind. At least half of you are a month behind. In other words, you haven't paid, but I've covered the differences with money that wasn't supposed to go here. So some of you may end up paying. I want everybody to pay their fair share. So whoever's caught up, just fine. We got to pay, you know, the end of the month. We have to pay one more September. We're out of here at the end of September. But if you're behind, I want you to keep your payment going till October. Okay, get it paid up the best way you can. Through October is fine. What I'd like you to do, we're going to just drop it all together. No more commitment. Think about what you could give a month toward Jump for Jesus. If you could, and I know the center commitment has been kind of hard on a lot of people. So maybe cut your commitment in half. Make it easier on yourself. But I would like everybody to continue to give some kind of a commitment every month that would go just for Jump for Jesus. And that'll be money that'll go toward getting us into these communities. I'd like to do no less than two communities a month. If we can do three, and what I'm going to use this money for is I've got to travel when we can't jump anymore. Like, it's probably not going to be able to book anything after Lewistown. The weather would be kind of iffy. But what I can do is get on the road and start lining up next spring and summer's activities. Well, that's going to take some travel expense. So rather than put our money into the center, let's put it into evangelism. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody all right with that?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do that. And, you know, almost without question, every one of you are here because of Jump for Jesus anyway. So, anyway, that's about all I have to say about that.